This summer, I was supposed to be in Santa Cruz, California, speaking at a week-long conference there, and then heading off with my family to Japan, where I was going to be part of a book tour, and then we were going to visit with Sakiko's family there. And then I was planning to head off to Singapore to speak at a conference there. But with COVID-19, I am staying local. I'll be right here in Vancouver, with the exception of one trip to Galliano Island. And with COVID-19, perhaps you are staying local as well. Today, we're going to begin a new sermon series on meeting God in the sacred spaces of our own, quote, backyard. This sermon series will feel a little different because we won't be delivering the messages from inside a building, but from the sanctuary of the great outdoors. And we want to encourage you this summer, no matter where you live, to find a sacred space outdoors where you can regularly meet God. One of my favorite spots locally, outdoors, is here in Pacific Spirit Park. I love these endowment land trails not far from the University of British Columbia. It's an oasis right here in the city. It's also a kind of doggy heaven, right, Sasha? Sasha, come. Come on, Sasha. You love these trails, don't you, Sasha? She just loves being here. This is like doggy heaven. When I come to this beautiful forest, sometimes I'll think of the words of my mentor, who says, when you want to experience restoration, go to the woods, go to somewhere that you haven't made with your own hands. When you want to experience restoration of your soul, go somewhere that you haven't made with your own hands. When I look at these magnificent trees, sometimes I think of the verse in Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the earth shows the work of His hands. And I find that when I walk in nature, I feel especially close to God. And in this message, I want to explore how walking in the sacred spaces of nature can draw us closer to God. The Japanese theologian Kosuke Koyama says that our Creator is a 3-mile-an-hour God. As you may know, most human beings walk at about 3 miles an hour. And when we slow down and literally walk, we catch up with God. My friend Mark Buchanan, in his forthcoming excellent book, God Walk, points out that exercising in nature is like exercise squared, exercise to the power of two. And perhaps spiritual exercise in nature is spiritual exercise to the power of two. Spiritual exercise squared. Now, I know that most of us would agree that physical exercise is really important. But the Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy 4:8 points out that while physical exercise is of some benefit, spiritual exercise has benefit for all things, holding promise for this life and the life to come. If you're not able to physically actually walk, it may be that you're able to spend time outdoors experiencing God in the beauty of His creation, and thus engaging in a spiritual exercise where you, metaphorically speaking, walk with God. Our text today comes from the end of the Gospel of Luke. In Luke chapter 24, where we see a man named Cleopas walking with an unnamed companion. Some people think that the companion is Cleopas's spouse, or perhaps a family member. The companion could be his friend. And as they are walking, they're trying to figure out what has happened to them and their world. According to the text, they're walking from Jerusalem to Emmaus, a walk of about 7 miles or 11 kilometers. And at 3 miles an hour, that walk will take them just over 2 hours. And so they have plenty of time to walk and to think and to talk. We read in the text that Cleopas and his companion are downcast. They were followers of Jesus, or they had been up until their crushing disappointment. They had hoped that Jesus was the promised Redeemer, the one who would liberate their people. But they had seen that he had been beaten, crucified, had died. And so they realized they were wrong. Their hopes were misplaced and they were utterly devastated. And as they were walking along that road, downcast, they bumped into a stranger. This person seemed unusual and really uninformed. He seemed to have no idea who Jesus was. He didn't seem to know about his teaching, his brutally violent death. And so Cleopas and his friend explained that we were hoping that Jesus was the one who would redeem us and our people, the promised Messiah. And as they walk with this man, he went on to explain to them from the scriptures, from the writings of Moses and the prophets, that the Messiah had to first suffer before entering into his glory. And as they continued to walk with this man, they eventually came into the town of Emmaus. And they got to Cleopas's home. And the man seemed as though he was going to keep walking. But Cleopas turns to him and says, "Look, it's getting late. Evening is coming. Why don't you stay with us tonight?" And so the man accepts his invitation, enters the home, and when the meal is being served, this man does something odd, something weird for a guest. The man reaches out, takes the bread, and then gives thanks for it, breaks it, and then offers it to the hosts. And as he does that, their eyes are opened, and they recognize Jesus. And then Jesus vanishes. But that is enough for them. And what we learn from Cleopas' story is he and his companion walk with God unconsciously. They see God more clearly. And when we walk with God, we will see God more clearly. As you may know, philosophers like Søren Kierkegaard, novelists like Charles Dickens, poets like Mary Oliver took daily walks to stimulate their creativity and to clarify their thinking. When we walk left, right, this stimulates both the right and left hemispheres of our brain, making us more creative, expanding our thinking, clarifying it. And when we walk with God, especially in a beautiful place outdoors, we will see God more clearly. And before I go on an intentional walk with God, I will pray that the Holy Spirit will guide my thoughts and turn my attention toward God, or else I'll end up just thinking about a problem to solve or some project to push ahead. But as we walk with God, we will see God more clearly. And from the example of Cleopas and his companion, we also see that as we walk with God, we feel God more deeply. So they walk with this man that they don't recognize as Jesus. And as I said, they get to their home and they invite this man to stay with them. And as the meal is being served, the guest reaches out, takes the bread, gives thanks for it, breaks it, gives it to them, and their eyes are opened and they see that it's Jesus with them. Jesus vanishes, and afterwards they say, were not our hearts burning within us as he opened the scriptures to us? They felt God deeply as they walked with this person who happened to be Jesus, unrecognized to them at the time. They felt God's presence deeply. And as was true for Cleopas and his companion, as we walk with God, especially outdoors, we will feel God more deeply. I recently read Cheryl Strayed's memoir, Wild, From Lost to Found on the Pacific Coast Trail. In her memoir, Cheryl describes how when she was just 21 years of age, and her mom just 45, her mother, at the young age of 45, died of cancer. And this loss really broke Cheryl. She describes very honestly how she ended up being unfaithful multiple times to her husband, involved in numerous affairs, how she got involved in drugs and started using heroin, and these things dissolved her marriage. And Cheryl decided that she would walk the Pacific Coast Trail, or at least 1,100 miles of it along the California and Oregon coastlines, as a way to enter more deeply into her deep grief at having lost her mother. And when we walk, we can enter into our emotions. We can feel our feelings more deeply. Some of you know, from time to time on my Sabbath day, I will take a walk here in the Endowment Land trails or on the beach, and I will engage in a prayer of thanksgiving that literally spans my life as I give thanks to God for the ways he has provided for me. I pray that the Holy Spirit would guide this prayer time, and I'll end up thanking God for my birth, the gift of just being on the planet. Obviously, I didn't make that happen. And I'll recount things from my childhood. And earlier this week, I was walking and praying, and I remembered being 6 or 7 years old, living in London, England, and my friend Danny Holmes invited me to his home. They lived in an apartment there in London. And as I was there, I remember Danny and his older brother asking me if I wanted to play poker with them, or it was some kind of gambling game. And I said, sure. And I ended up losing all of my money, all of my 50 pence, and I was so sad. And at the end of the play date, I was about to go home, and Danny's mother approached me, and she asked me, Ken, how much money did you lose? And I said, I lost 50 pence. And she refunded me the money, and I was incredibly happy. I know that sounds a little superficial, but as I recounted that memory, as I walked and prayed, I felt a great deal of joy and gratitude. As I pray this lifelong prayer of thanksgiving, I come to certain seasons in my life that at the time seemed really difficult. When I was working in the corporate world in Japan, my workday went from 7 in the morning till 11 at night. Those were really demanding and sleep-deprived days for me. And then I think about another time in my 20s when I was a graduate school student in Boston, and my studies were hard, and I was working, and I was involved in student government, student leadership, and at the time, those days seemed to be really difficult. But as I look back on my days in Japan and in Boston from this vantage point, praying, I feel an explosion of gratitude for how God worked during those seasons. I've said that neuroscientists tell us that our memories don't work like a photocopy. Whenever we retrieve a memory, it alters the memory in some way. And when we remember something in the presence of God, that memory will be changed. Something that once felt painful may feel less painful as we pray it in God's presence. In fact, there are times when the pain can be all but drained away, And miraculously, when we bring a memory into God's presence, there are times when God can even transform that memory so that instead of feeling pain, we actually feel thanks for that time looking back because God did something, because God redeemed that. And as we walk with God, as was true for Cleopas and his companion, we can see God more clearly and we can feel God more deeply. And then finally, insofar as this message is concerned, as was true for Cleopas and his companion, as we walk with God, we can experience God's healing more fully. As I mentioned, when Cleopas and his companion invite this man who is at this point seemingly a stranger to them to stay at their home that night, they serve a meal to him, and the stranger, the guest, reaches for the bread, gives thanks for it, breaks it, offers it to them. They recognize Jesus in that moment. Jesus vanishes. But Jesus literally feeds them as he offers them the bread, but he also nourishes them spiritually as he has walked with them. They have been built. They have been made more whole as they have walked with Jesus, both in their bodies as he feeds them, but in their spirits as he gives life to them. In my book, Survival Guide for the Soul, I write about the story of a woman who harbored deep pain from her childhood. She was a young girl. One day she was seated in her bedroom looking at herself in a mirror. The door to her bedroom was open and her mother happened to be walking by, looked through the open door, saw her daughter looking at herself in the mirror and said, "I hope you don't think you're beautiful." Well, the truth is, she was beautiful at every season of her life. Beautiful as a young girl. Beautiful as an adolescent. Beautiful as a young woman and beautiful as a mature woman. But she always felt like she was ugly. When she was a teenager, she was offered a scholarship to study ballet at a very prestigious school. But her mom said, "Why would they give that to you? Everyone knows that you're a klutz." This woman would go on to dance as a ballerina to thunderous applause, to appreciative audiences, to adoring people around the world. And yet she always felt like an ugly klutz with two left feet. As an adult, she moved to England and she began taking long walks on the Yorkshire moors. And she found that if she walked long enough, her mind would actually begin to settle. The expanse of the heather, the scent of the heather, was a balm that soothed her throbbing anger, fear, and pain. And one time when she was walking on the Yorkshire moors, it was like her anxiety began falling off of her like layers of scarves. The anxiety just kept falling and falling and falling like layers of scarves. And she felt like she was being upheld in a beautiful mystery that upheld the whole world. She felt like she was in the presence of love and of safety. She felt secure and at peace. And though this really dramatic experience happened just once, it led her into a deeper way of prayer and into a greater wholeness. And as was true for Cleopas and his companion, as we walk with God, not only do we see God more clearly and feel him more deeply, but we experience God's healing more fully. When I walk in these beautiful endowment land trails, walking here is a kind of metaphor for me of walking with God, of keeping in step with the Spirit, of walking with a 3-mile-an-hour God. Would you like to walk with God? If so, he says this to you. In the book of Revelation, chapter 3, verse 20, he says, "Behold, I stand at the door of your life and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come into you and eat with you and you with me. And if, like Cleopas and his companion, you will open the door of the home of your life to Jesus, he will come in and he will break bread with you and feed and nourish you. And he will allow you to experience a beauty you've never known. And so if you'd like Jesus to walk with you, I invite you, wherever you are, to take a moment to pray with me. And if you want, as Jesus knocks on the door of your heart, you can say, Jesus, come into me. Come into the home of who I am. Cleanse me. Feed me. And help me to walk with you and to know a beauty that can only be found in and with you. And may it be so for you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.